Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Guys, it's such an honor to be here tonight with you. My name is Nathan. I'm the pastor here at our PM service. And if you haven't caught on to what's happening here tonight, tonight is our very first night meeting in this space. And Pastor Bruce, who pastors with me, and his wife Terry, who leads us in worship, are away. They're in like New Zealand or somewhere further, or Hawaii or somewhere. They're on an island other than Manhattan. And it was Terry's idea. She said, "What if we get your sister-in-law to lead us in worship?" And I said, "I would love that." And so that was my brother and my sister-in-law leading us in worship tonight. Thank you so much, Libby and John Luke. Love you so much. So, John Luke and Libby are professional musicians, and that's what they do for a living. Something related to music. Maybe. John Luke writes, and Libby works for Worship Online, in truth, right? In truth. There we go. Thanks, guys, for just stepping in and kind of getting into the mess of, like, discovering what's going to work. Maybe the lights will turn off. Maybe the sound will work. You don't know. We're in this together, and that's what's important. And as we kind of get into this together, I believe that God's going to do something really cool. In the beginning, and in fact, even before the beginning, God had a very good idea. And his idea was to create people that would reflect and refract the glory and beauty and splendor of who he is. He pressed his image into every single individual person. He pressed something of his creativity, something of his glory, something of his weightiness, his substance into every person. He breathed it into us, in fact. It didn't take long for us to break this, though, and we broke God's very good idea. And in fact, there's a children's story called God's Very Good Idea in which I'm stealing these thoughts from. I'd encourage you to get it because it has some of the best ecclesiology and soteriology I've ever read. And it also talks about multi-ethnic congregations and how God is building this big, beautiful family. Because before God started and building this very good idea, he knew that he was going to have to die to redeem this very good idea. And before God breathed a breath and before God started building anything, he knew. He set apart Jesus, the Son, the Word, the eternal, the second person of the Trinity, to say, "You're going to go after our lost children. You're going to go after them." And Word, the Father and the Spirit said to the Word, to the Son, to Jesus, whatever you want to call him, that second member of the Trinity, said, "You're going to have to go after him. You're going to have to run after him. It's going to cost your life." And he said, "Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that." And the people that we gather in together through the love of the Father and the power of the Spirit and the grace of Jesus, we're going to call them a church. And that's what we're doing tonight, is we are operating in God's very good idea. That before there was ever anything, time, space, matter, you and I and this meeting was on God's mind. And you and I and this meeting was on the very heart of God. And tonight as we sit in pews and as we sit in a church, in a building, how cool is it to be in a building that's dedicated to God? I love that. TBN was great and was also dedicated to God in a different way. But this is private. This was never designed to be seen around the world. This was designed to hold a community in a space in Manhattan. And I love that we're here. We meet in theaters, we've met in schools, we meet everywhere, but it's cool that in this moment we're in a church with things that are designed to worship God and to meet with him and to experience him. And my deep, deep desire is that we'll do just that while we're here, that we're going to meet with God. I spoke last week. Last week was my last message at TBN before we moved, and I talked about how I believe that God has two things for us to do. One is that we're a community of grace, that there's no other way to enter this community other than being saved by Jesus. Now, you're welcome here whether you believe that or not, but to be part of the church, the universal church, to be a part of God's very good idea, we need to come by the way of grace. We can't earn that. We can't pay enough money. We can't do the right things or say the right words. There's no incantation that gets us in. It's only by Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And so because of that, we're going to swing wide the doors of our hearts and of this building physically. We're going to open up the doors and invite people in. We're going to give out cards. We're going to give out things on the street. We're going to invite people in. We want to remove any barriers. Ephesians chapter 2 says that Jesus broke down in his wall the dividing wall of hostility. That was speaking between Jews and Gentiles, an ethnic and religious divide. But I believe that that also operates today in the religious divide between church and not church, between the body of Christ and the city, that God would want the walls to fall down and anything that would separate somebody from being able to encounter God to be torn down. That's why we put out signs. That's why we have a welcome team, a hospitality team. That's why we try to help things run smoothly. And when we don't, we laugh and we're going to have a good time anyways. Because God wants the walls of involvement, the lines between what he's doing and out there to be welcoming. No walls, no boundaries, no barriers. Now, obviously, there is a church, and there's also not a church. I'm not talking about universalism. I'm talking about just being welcoming. The second thing that it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2 is that we're a temple, that we hold and house the presence of God. It says that we're building each other life upon life, that we're fellow citizens, we're part of the household of God, and that we're then built together into a temple in Ephesians chapter 2. And then it says that to be a dwelling place of the Spirit of God, that we're going to see God move, that this is not just a space, but this is a holy space because his holy people are here, made holy by the grace of Jesus. God's very good idea is taking shape right here, that he's going to meet with his people and redeem. That's to buy back, to make right all of his plans, all of his purposes for each one of our lives. And I believe that while we're here, we're going to meet with God in some very special ways. That his presence and his power is going to be here, that we're going to see people come to know him. We're going to be able to see people be baptized, maybe not here, but definitely at our other home, 414. We're going to see people come to know God. We're going to see new people be baptized. We're going to see new people join our family, our community of faith here. And I'm looking forward to that happening. I'm getting ahead of myself, but tonight when we end here in just a little bit of time, we've ordered dinner. And if you've got plans, if you don't have plans, well, we're inviting you to stick around, hang out with us, get to know some of the people here. And just kind of dig in a little bit together as we're ending an hour earlier than we normally end. And I'm going to even try to wrap this up really super quick. So that's like my spiel, my announcement for tonight. We're calling it a moving party because basically we knew that not everything was going to work tonight. This is like moving into a new home. There's boxes up here. There's boxes back there. You know, we knew that things were going to be a little bit messy and chaotic. And so in the spirit of that, we got pizza for everybody, because what do you get when you move into a new place? You get some pizza, because it doesn't require any utensils. So guys, we got some pizza because we're moving and we want to celebrate with you and with each other. All right, that was my introduction. I'm just going to get into Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians is just this beautiful work that Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus. And he writes just some of the most cool thoughts about the church. So I was speaking a lot about Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11, I'll just read it, and then I'll give a couple of thoughts. And we're going to pray, we're going to take communion, and we're going to pray for the future of our meeting here together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, but rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about growth. I want to talk about how I believe it's in the heart of God that we would grow. It's in the heart of God that we would grow. I've got two little children. One's named Anders and one's named Eden. I've got a 3-year-old boy, Anders, and a 2-year-old little girl, Eden. And my goodness, do I want them to grow. Because I can't only do this for so long. Someday they got to take care of me. I want them to grow. I want them to be mature. I don't want every time I turn off the TV, I don't want kicking and screaming. Every time it's bedtime or bath time, I don't want kicking and screaming. I want maturity. I want growth. And I believe that God would want the same for his children. Now, you're like, I don't kick and scream. Now, do you? When the boundaries of your life change, do you rail against the new paradigm? Do you always like and love what God has for you? Do you always feel safe and confident and secure no matter what you're facing? I don't know if we do. I feel like there's always some room for growth. But God would have growth for us as individuals. God would have a lot of new stuff for every single person in here. That God wants to do new things in your life so that you can be rooted. Later, Paul prays that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. He wants us to not be blown about when winds of doctrine, when opinions, when things happen in the office, when we face new challenges or trials. He wants us to be steadfast and secure every day as individuals, knowing God loves me. God's had a very good idea from before the very beginning. I'm safe. I'm secure. Nothing's moving me off my spot. But then as a church, as we grow as individuals, there's a corporate growth that happens. And I believe that God would have every nation, New York City, PM service grow. That when you come in here, there's going to be a wave of the presence of God and a wave of a welcomer that just lets you know I'm at home. Whether you've been here 100 times or never been here at all, that there's a welcome here. By the power of God and by the love of us as a church, there's going to be a welcome here that lets you know you're supposed to be here. You belong here. There's a family here. There's help here. We've put out 3 signs in front of this building that says, here for you. And there's something in our hearts that needs to be ready to receive that we are here for this city. We're here for Murray Hill. We're here for 34th Street. We're here for Manhattan. We're here for New York and the boroughs and the surrounding areas, people that are driving in from Westchester and Jersey. We're here. We're here for you. And that's the start of our mission statement, that we're here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference. We're here for you to grow with others. We're here for your personal growth. We're here to see the love of God expand through this city. We're here to make a difference. People knowing God, growing together, digging in together. And we're going to do that here. God's got a purpose for us being here. God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a purpose for this church. And I don't believe it's to remain small. I love small churches. I'll be honest with you. I love it. But I don't believe that God loves small churches too, but he also wants them to grow, be self-sustaining so that we can own and buy buildings. And I believe that that's for us. Do you believe that? I mean, do you want to move again? Do you want to move 15 times more? Because I know that this night service, we've moved so much. We're like the children of Israel. And the children of Israel did move. They moved for 40 years, but that was so that they could possess a land, right? It wasn't just to move for the sake of moving. It's to move for the sake of God building something into them and removing what needed to be removed so that they could possess the promised land. And I believe that God has a place for us. I am deeply grateful to Haig and the Armenian Evangelical Church, and this is our home for the time being. But also, while this earth is not our home, nor is this building. And that I believe that God has a heavenly place for us and an earthly place for us. God has blessings for us here on earth and blessings for us in heaven. And I'm looking forward to those things. And in the meantime, it's for us to grow. But it's going to start in our hearts. There's maturity in our hearts. There's openness in our hearts. There's love in our hearts for God and for people. for God and the city. And we're going to love this city because God loves this city. And we're going to move into the city because God would move into the city. And some of us, you're going to meet your spouse in this place, and you're going to get married, and you're going to be tempted to move to Westchester. And I'm going to say it now. There's a future for you here in the city. And if you're from Westchester, we love you. And we're wide open. We love you. We love you still. But there's a place that God would want us to build and occupy and be in this city for the long haul. And my wife Elsa and I, we moved to New York just a year and a half ago, and I know that it's a little bit early for me to be talking that way, but we're deeply committed to raising our children here. We're deeply committed to you, this church. I love praying for you. I love seeing what God is doing in your life. I love seeing you guys get jobs, meet new relationships, new dating relationships happening, new marriages happening. I believe that there's engagements coming, there's babies, there's the whole thing, that God is going to let us grow and flourish here. Tonight's a little bit off topic, but we've been in Daniel, and Daniel's he's this first wave of exiles that are carted off to Babylon, and the prophet Jeremiah says, don't plan to get out of here in 2 years. He says, you're going to be here for 70 years. Plant vineyards. Plant stuff in the ground. Plant seeds and reap the harvest. Give your children in marriage. Build houses. Is what the prophet Jeremiah would say to the children of Israel in exile. And I believe that that's how God would have us live as well. Though that this earth is not our eternal home, we're going to plant and we're going to harvest. We're going to receive good stuff back from the city. We're going to have children and give them in marriage. We're going to own houses, and we're going to build houses, even in New York City. I believe that God would have a solidity for this church. And then one day, the solidity for the big church will come as well, that we would own a building, and then, of course, that God's kingdom would come again, right? Anyways, all that to say, we've got a big vision here. It's to transform the city one life at a time, to see more and more people come to know him, see more and more people run their businesses in a godly way, to see more and more people act and model in godly ways, to see more and more people living life, opening doors, going to work, doing what God would have them do for the kingdom and glory and beauty and splendor of God, because his identity has been placed in them, and they're not waved and they're not moved when things come against them. And it's a testimony to the glory of God. It's a testimony in this city that God is up to stuff, and that God can save us, and that we don't have to live frantic, busy, anxious, worried lives, even in Manhattan. That he has peace, he has prosperity in the fullest sense, in a heart sense, in a financial sense, in every sort of sense. He's got good things for us here. And so, as we move into this place and as we relocate yet again, I feel like it's important to say, God's got us. God's holding us as individuals. God's holding us as a church. And God has very good things for us. And we are looking to him as our ultimate source of provision. And we're looking to him to provide for every one of our personal needs and every one of our church needs. And that God's going to do some beautiful, lovely, beautiful things here. It's only by the grace of Jesus, though. And so I want to just take some time. I'm going to wrap up now. I'm going to speak the shortest message of the history of my time here in New York. So that we can... Was that 10 minutes? Guys, that was my goal. All right? Let's give it up for me. Yeah. No. This is so that we can enjoy each other and build community together and eat pizza, right? This is so that we can. I know. I just gave you 20 minutes of your life back, so now I know you've got time to eat pizza with us. Is that manipulative? Probably. Probably manipulative. We're gonna celebrate Jesus and just remember why we're here, right? In the cup. And in the bread, in the wine and the bread, we've got, of course, the single serving cups coming down. As we figure out our space here, we're going to have a table, and we're going to take communion from a table in time. But tonight we've got the cups that are coming down. If you're a Christian, if you believe in what Jesus has done, then please participate. If you're not a Christian here tonight, we're so glad that you're here. But this is not, you don't have to do this. This is for those of us who are believers. And thank you to the ushers just passing this out just now. We would not be here if it were not for the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have got to honor him first in this. Each one of us have experienced him in some way, have come to know him, and that's by grace. That's by nothing but the love of God. My 3-year-old son pays incredible attention to every single detail in this world. And a detail that he's been fascinated with is a picture of a dog on a lamppost near my house. And it's a picture of this scruffy, ugly chihuahua. And some of you would probably fall in love with it, but personally, it looks like a drowned rat. And I have no love in my heart for this thing. Underneath the drowned rat, it says, $5,000 reward, no questions asked. I kind of want to find that drowned rat. $5,000. And how much more is the love of God for me and for you that he would give his only son? That he would say, not $5,000, not $5 million, but my very life. The very life of God poured out for me and you so that we could know him, so that we could be received back. And I love that. No questions asked. No questions asked. He doesn't care where you're from. He doesn't care what you've done. His grace can cover and forgive and restore and redeem even the worst story. $5,000, no questions asked. The blood of Jesus Christ, no questions asked. All are welcome to receive his grace, receive his forgiveness. Jesus, thank you so much that 2,000 years ago, you gave your life and you started what we know as the church, that you called from the four corners of the earth, your children, back to you, that your very good idea started to find its home again, that God, you started to restore a place. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you've got a place for us, that every nation church, people from every tribe, language, nation, and tongue can find a home here by your grace, by your strength, by your power. God, thank you that you're calling from the four corners of New York City, the surrounding boroughs and areas, God, that you're calling people to yourself, and that, God, you're going to use us to bring restoration, healing, and hope, and blessing, and a prosperity of life, a peace of life to people. God, we can only do it by your grace. We have no magic here. We have no tricks. It's not our words. It's not the music. It's not that people are going to come in and be blown away by the lights or how cool this thing is. But God, we want them to meet you and you alone. We meet you by grace. We meet you by the blood of Jesus, God. Thank you, Lord, for calling each one of us. Thank you, God, for your grace that's poured out and represented here and measured even out here through this bread and through this juice.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.